It's time for Comic Review Weekly, produced by Jackrabbit Studios in association with GravyBoy.com. Now here's your host, Andy Slott.
Hello there, comic book fans. Welcome to episode 27 of Comic Review Weekly, the podcast where you get the good, the bad, and the ugly of comic books, hosted by me, Andy Slaughter. Comic Review Weekly is brought to you by the creative minds of Jackrabbit Studios, home of Gravy Boy, the comic for folks who like a little hero in their heroes. Check it out at www.gravyboy.com. It's great to have you here. It's my hope that this show will perhaps get you to try out a few new titles that you may have otherwise not considered, or possibly to save you a few dollars by helping you avoid a really bad comic book. Today, you get to hear about Martian invaders returning to Earth in War of the Worlds Second Wave, and we revisit a DC title that really brings a cinematic level of adventure to the Justice League of America. By the way, I want to give a quick shout-out to comic book dealer Jim Murray of www.murraystudios.net. He's got some great deals on comic books, trade paperbacks, and toys, so feel free to check out his site. You might find something you're looking for. Again, that's www.murraystudios.net. Well, it was only a few weeks ago, I think, that we reviewed the first issue of War of the Worlds Second Wave, and it got a solid good rating of 4 out of 5 stars. Today we look at issue number 2 and see how events are playing out for our main character, Miles. War of the Worlds Second Wave is written by Michael Alan Nelson with artwork by Chi and is published by Boom Studios. Last issue, if you remember, it was more of a prologue to the series, recapping the first Martian invasion of Earth. In this devastating attack, most of the weapons of mankind were useless, and the aliens were stopped only by the germs of the planet Earth, to which they had no immunity. Miles's wife is believed to be dead in the wake of all this. He has no choice but to carry on and help rebuild his battered home. And then, the meteors start falling again. Which leads us to issue 2, where the reader is given a glimpse into Miles's normal life before the invasion happened. We see him and his wife, Gina, in a marriage counseling session. They are having problems communicating. Miles just shuts her out of his life and doesn't confide in her, basically. Then the flashback ends and we catch up to Miles' current location, an abandoned motel in a small town where he and a friend live. While going for a drive, Miles and his companion Duke talk about the new wave of ships. As they do this, a radio broadcast tells us that the new ships that are landing seem to be dead on arrival. At least there is no concentrated effort of major battles going on. The whole thing is a mystery. This subtle dramatic scene is cut short when a meteor almost crashes directly into the truck, soon followed by a fully active Martian tripod ship. Their rickety Chevrolet is no match for the heat beams of the tripod, and Miles and Duke are soon on the run. They make their way into the sewer, where more survivors are hiding out. Everyone is in dire need of some rest, so they set up a watch in shifts. Miles gets to sleep first and thinks back to his discussions with the marriage counselor, private sessions where his wife was not around. Here, we learn that Miles had premonitions about the aliens before they arrived, or at least we are led to believe something to that effect. Miles wakes up and he makes a grisly discovery awaiting him and his fellow survivors. And that's where the issue ends. Michael Alan Nelson has again intrigued me with this book. I wasn't expecting the amount of character depth that we get in the second issue, and I have to say I'm glad. All of the flashbacks with the marriage counselor and his wife are nicely executed. Miles is becoming someone that a reader can actually identify with. While I wouldn't quite call him likable, I don't really want to see him die a horrible death at the hands of the Martians either. I like the pacing of the book, starting out subtle, with a simple feeling of disquiet in the background, as we learn a little more about Duke and Miles and their relationship. Then, the sudden change to action with the tripod chase and running around the sewers to the eye-opening final splash page, yeah, I gotta say I was pleased and I look forward to the next installment. Chi's artwork is great for this book, refreshingly simple. The action and direction of the panels was clearly understandable to me as a reader. As far as his Martians go, he gives a Cthulhu-ish look to everything, and it works well because it's just enough to invoke images of the Lovecraftian horror without making you say, "Oh, look, it's Cthulhu." A fine job by all involved. I still give it a strong 4 out of 5 stars. Next up, we have the popular DC series featuring the talents of Alex Ross, Jim Kruger, and Doug Brathwaite. Justice. A 12-part epic series showcasing the classic DC Justice League in their timeless glory, Justice pits the greatest superheroes in the world against the greatest supervillains. Only this time, there is a twist. The supervillains claim that they are actually out to save humanity. They appear before the population of the planet as enormous holograms, sending out their messages. They are building giant cities for the human race to live in, free of disease, war, and poverty. At the head of all this, Lex Luthor promises that he and his League of Criminals will take on all the responsibility of making this world a perfect place. So, while all this is happening, where is the Justice League? Getting their butts whipped by supervillains like Brainiac, Sinestro, Parasite, Cheetah, and Clayface, just to name a few. Most of the heroes were incapacitated long before the villains even started their global invitation. Aquaman has become the guinea pig for Brainiac's experiments. Martian Manhunter has fallen prey to a fiery illusion courtesy of Gorilla Grodd. Flash is caught in an unending speed loop, I think. And Superman... well, I haven't seen Superman get a beat down this bad in a long time. In issue 4, Superman gets tag-teamed by Bizarro, Parasite, Metallo, and hulking zombie Solomon Grundy. Bizarro pretty much crashes straight into Superman's apartment and flies him out at super speed. He's still dressed in Clark Kent's clothes, too. Flies him right into an alleyway where Metallo and Parasite are waiting to weaken and drain his powers. Then Solomon Grundy shows up and continues pounding the Man of Steel into submission. In a powerful cliffhanger, Superman cries for help with tears in his eyes. Issue 5 picks back up where the previous left off. Superman managed to get out a signal to his fellow Justice Leaguers, who were nowhere to be found. Just as it seems he is about to fall for good, a bolt of lightning with roaring thunder rocks the night sky. Quicker than the blink of an eye, the villains are handled with ease by the one guy who could stand up to such a gruesome team. In a beautiful splash page, a wearied Superman looks up to see the outstretched hand of Captain Marvel. Marvel flies Kal-El to the relative safety of the Batcave to recuperate. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman fights off an assault from Cheetah, and Green Arrow gets out of a nasty situation involving Scarecrow and Clayface, with some help from Black Canary. We also get to see the cities promised by Lex Luthor, and they look like they might be from the personal collection of Brainiac. See, in the classic continuity, Brainiac was an evil scientist with an artificial intelligence who went around to different planets, shrinking cities, and then adding them to his own collection. In this comic, when we first see the cities, they are like small black marbles before being thrown into the ocean and transformed into enormous cities. So, yeah, I think that Lex is using these shrunken cities for his own purpose, but I could be wrong. You know, this review is starting to sound more like a DC Universe roll call than anything else. What can I say? That is the nature of such an epic project as this. Everybody is here! Anyway... the issue rounds out with a revelation that members of the Justice League have been infected with mind-controlling worms. In the last panel, Superman tells Captain Marvel to throw him into the sun so he can burn them out of his Kryptonian body. Wow. Great stuff. If you are limited in your budget of monthly books, then I highly recommend you make this a part of your list. Hey, it's not even monthly, it's bi-monthly. Every issue is filled to the brim with the best superhero action in ages. It's one of the most accessible books for fans who aren't informed on the nuances of the DC Universe. Plus, each issue has a short biographical information section at the back. It's good for reference. I give Justice a swell 4 out of 5 stars. By the way, Comic Review Weekly wants to see where you live. No, seriously, if you go to a website called, www.frapper.com/comicreviewweekly, Frapper, spelled F-R-A-P-P-R, you can put a pin in a world map, and we can see where you live. Very cool. Well, join us next Monday for another new episode of Comic Review Weekly at www.gravyboy.com/CRW. I'm Andy Slaughter, wishing you happy reading.